Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, reviews a companion book to the PBS documentary The War of 1812, a guide to battlefields and historic sites, written by John Grant and Ray Jones. Schinkel begins his review by reading from the book.
From the coasts of Maine and New Brunswick in the east, through the Great Lakes, and westward as far as the Pacific, extends what is surely the friendliest international boundary in the world, the border between the United States in Canada. One may easily imagine that it has always been as peaceable as it is today, but the fact is that 200 years ago, the people on either side of that border took up arms against each other in a legendary struggle known as the War of 1812. The War of 1812 was an event of immense importance, one destined to shape political geography of North America. It was also an intensely violent affair. Stout forts were blasted with cannon and rockets. Towns and villages were devastated. Storehouses and government buildings were burned. And thousands of brave men and women were killed or maimed. Then, little more than 2.5 years after it began, the fighting ended. Yes, 200 years ago, the War of 1812 ravaged swaths of North America, including parts of the Midwest that many of us call home. As the book continues to state, the War of 1812 produced death and destruction like all wars do, but not on a cataclysmic scale. Total American, British, Canadian, and Native American battle casualties likely did not exceed 25,000. These losses were quite small compared to those of the Napoleonic Wars then being fought in Europe. And although Tippecanoe County was a key geographical part of that war, we don't do that much to acknowledge our local importance in that war of 200 years ago. Yes, we have the Tippecanoe battlefield along the bluffs of the Wabash just outside Battleground, Indiana. And our local Tippecanoe County Historical Association hosted a commemoration of the day the war was fought locally on a cold day last November. But how many of us understand that Battle of Tippecanoe? As we're told in today's book, Indiana was then covered by dense forests and open prairies, seldom broken by roads or settlements. This Northwest was in several senses a frontier. The border between the British province of Upper Canada, the present-day province of Ontario, and the Indiana Territory of the United States ran through it. So, too, did the indistinct and ever-shifting line of demarcation between recently established farms and communities in the steadily retreating western wilderness. And cutting through it, and even less firmly fixed, was the boundary between the lands held by white settlers and those claimed by various Indian peoples. This vast expanse of continental heartland offered fertile soils, plentiful game, abundant timber, and the promise of mineral wealth. These rich lands and resources had long since begun to attract settlers of European descent who pressed westward across the Allegheny Mountains and down the great chain of lakes. Inevitably, land-hungry pioneers bumped up against Native American tribes, many of which had earlier retreated from the east and were not prepared to make these European settlers welcome. Well, many of us know the story. The Shawnee warrior Tecumseh rose up, counseled their people to resist the tide of white intruders. And then Governor and General Harrison comes into the area, and a war is fought just outside of Lafayette, Indiana. As our book tells us, the Battle of Tippecanoe settled nothing. Instead, it proved to have been the opening salvo of a war that was just beginning. General Harrison's assault on Prophetstown left behind such a harvest of bitterness that Native American peoples in the Great Lakes region would have no real choice but to side with the British in the War of 1812. Tecumseh gave voice to that bitterness when he returned to the area a few months after the battle. Quote, "Governor Harrison made war on my people in my absence," he said. "On my return, I found great destruction and havoc, the fruits of our labor destroyed, the bodies of my friends lying in the dust, and our village burnt to the ground by the big knives." And so goes the War of 1812. It was a war between American settlers moving into the old Northwest and, of course, was sparked even more by the war between the British and the Americans and, of course, drawing in the Canadians. The War of 1812 was one of our nation's earliest wars and one of the nation's most controversial. It was derisively labeled Mr. Madison's War by its many critics of then-President James Madison. The National Congress barely voted to declare war on Great Britain, perhaps realizing the young American nation was taking on the overwhelming naval power on the planet. Ironically, this is the war that gave us our national song, The Star-Spangled Banner, written by Francis Scott Key as he waited breathlessly to see if the Stars and Stripes still flew over Fort McHenry near Baltimore, Maryland, in one of the larger battles of the war. And it gave us as well that stirring cry to fortitude in battle, don't give up the ship. From the Atlantic coast to the Niagara Falls of Upper New York, across the Great Lakes and into Ohio, Pennsylvania, and even the early years of Chicago, then known as Fort Dearborn, this war raged, inflaming what we now know as the upper Midwest of the United States and the southern valleys of British Canada. Finally, 2 weeks after the peace treaty was signed, the ultimate irony of the War of 1812 befell the nation. The Battle of New Orleans, or New Orleans, celebrated in Johnny Horton's folk song from the late 1950s, which starts, "In 1814, we took a little trip." Well, this battle fought in southern Louisiana brought an unlikely end not only to the war, but gave us the final topsy-turvy twist of fate as then General Andrew Jackson won this final battle, fought, remember, after the peace treaty had been signed, and likely paved the way for Jackson's presidency, which would come not that long afterward, by winning that Battle of New Orleans. The likely import of the War of 1812 is presented as our book wraps up its narrative. One might say it goes a bit over the top in this analysis, but still, who is to say that any war was less than it ought to have been? As our book writes, having won the last battle, Americans were able to tell themselves that they had won the war itself, despite the burning of Washington and the many defeats along the Canadian border and elsewhere. Having repulsed every American invasion attempt, Canadians believed, and with good enough reason, continue to believe to this day that they won the war. And though their defeat in Louisiana might sting, the British never for a moment believed that they had lost. Instead, they emerged from the war the mightiest and most prosperous nation on earth, and that is hardly the fate of a defeated people. For all these reasons, the War of 1812 did not sow the seeds of future wars, and that is cause for celebration. In fact, there is much to celebrate in what the War of 1812 was, an assertion of national pride and identity, and in what it never became, a war of conquest and annihilation. It is likewise well worth celebrating that we, the peoples of three great nations, the United States, Canada, Great Britain, have learned during the 2 centuries since the war ended that there is far greater profit in standing together as brothers than in facing one another as foes. The War of 1812, the book, features an extensive and contemporary travel guide to sites where the war was fought, and that puts a plus to this book above so many others. It's a great resource for anyone thinking about a trip to visit our nation's heritage sites from that war of 200 years ago. And with history around every corner through this nation's rich heartland, this is a travel opportunity that ought not to be missed, especially this year. But let me assure you, 1812 is so much more than a book about a long-ago war. It's a book of adventure, as well as death and mayhem, of stirring loyalties, of the rarest of rare armed conflict, as we heard, between the Canadian and the American peoples. And perhaps most important for our state, 1812 was the war that removed the Native American opposition to the young nation's expansion into the Ohio Valley lands we now know as Indiana, as Illinois, Michigan. The war paved the way for both the humiliating physical removal of the Native American peoples and the influx of settlers into Indiana and surrounding states as those people came from the American South, the East, and indeed from around the world to build new lives in the forests and river valleys of our state. It is perhaps fair to say, as our authors do, that Americans may know by heart the words of the Star-Spangled Banner and still not recall that the rocket's red glare once brightened the skies over Fort McHenry. Baseball fans in Kansas City, Denver, or Seattle sing the song with enthusiasm before each game without the slightest inkling that these major league cities might never have existed if the War of 1812 had not been fought. The United States of America owes much of its length, breadth, prosperity, and confident spirit to a war that modern Americans have all but forgotten. The War of 1812, written by John Grant and Ray Jones, it's a look at that long-ago war, 200 years ago, that helped make this nation, and certainly Indiana, what it is today.
That's Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library. He's reviewed The War of 1812, A Guide to Battlefield and Historic Sites by John Grant and Ray Jones. It's a companion book to the PBS television documentary.